Good morning. And welcome to our service of worship here at First Rough Ryland. If you're with us here live or on live stream or listening to us later on through the CD ministry, it is lovely to have you with us in whatever way. Some announcements. Again, tonight we have our Vision of Hope service. So please plan to meet us again tonight for a time of fellowship and a time where we'll be looking at the work that has been going on over in Moldova, Transnistria, and also the different ways that people have been helping in that work and the different opportunities available for us to continue to help in that work. So please, if you're free, come along tonight at 7 o'clock. Youth Fellowship will meet tonight in the Morrison Room at 8 p.m., again, for all those of secondary school age. Again, the midweek continues at 8 o'clock in the Morrison Room. Next Sunday morning, there'll be the prayer meeting at 11, and then the usual morning service, which will be led by myself. As mentioned last week, there is a thank you evening planned for Friday the 3rd of May at 7:30 in the church hall. For clarification, this is for all who gave of their time to help through COVID and the vacancy. So that's probably most of you, to be honest. But it's just an evening of thank you. There'll be food. So to know how to cater for that, we do need names. I know it perhaps is a daunting thing to put your name down first. But please, if you're able to come to that, please put your name down so we know the rough numbers for catering. So I believe the sign-up sheet is out in the foyer. So please take a moment to look at that. Put your name down if you were volunteering, helping during COVID, during the vacancy. Please put your name down so we know how much food I have to share with others. Thank you. Another announcement, there is a protest tomorrow morning at Carson Memorial Stormont at 10:30 a.m. And it's a protest regarding the Alliance Party's motion to try and force through RSE legislation, that is relationship and sexual education. We are planning to force this legislation through, so what is said in schools will be out of the remit of the Board of Governors and parents. So the idea of the protest is to show the Alliance and other parties that they are going against the majority of the people. So that's a protest where, if you're available, you can make your feelings known by your presence at Carson Memorial Stormont tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. Now, I think that's all the announcements. You know, all the things through the service for the minister, the announcements is usually the most nervous thing, just in case we've forgotten something. But that is all the announcements today. It is with deep sadness that I have to announce the death of Heather Murdoch's mother, Edith Agnew. Again, she passed away peacefully in hospital Wednesday morning past. And our sincere sympathy goes out to Heather and the family circle at this difficult time. And before we start the service, I will pray. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, at this time, Lord, our prayers go to Heather and the family. Lord, we pray that you will continue to support her, strengthen her, comfort her and the family at this time as they mourn the mother they mourn so much. Lord, I pray that you will help them at this time and the days ahead as they look to you. May they find that you are their solid foundation, that you are their tower of strength. Help them to look to you and give them the peace that you promise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Psalm 22, we read, "All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations." Let us stand and worship our great God, the King of Kings, as we sing our first hymn, How lovely is your dwelling place. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice this morning to know that we can dwell with you, our God, that despite the fact that we are sinners, those who have rebelled against you in word, thought, and deed, you loved us so much, you have made the way for us to be with you now and forever through your Son, the Lord Jesus, who gave his life, his blood shed, his body broken for us, so we can know you as Father, so we can be known as your children. Lord, we give you praise. And Lord, we pray as we gather here today that you help us as we dwell in your presence each day. Help us never forget we live in your holy presence. Lord, help us to do what your word tells us. Forgive us for those times when we have not, those times when we have neglected your word, going our own way instead of yours. Lord, forgive us in and through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, help us to take your word and live it. So Lord, we can bring glory and honor to your name, and we can bring blessing to those we're around this week. So Lord, challenge us this morning. Encourage us this morning, so we can go forth in your presence, living our lives for you in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We turn now to our scripture readings. And our first scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew. And I think I gave the audio the wrong chapter. It's chapter, yeah, they know anyway, chapter 5. I think I wrote down a part of tonight's. But chapter 5, reading from verse 21 to 22. And then after that, we'll go to the Gospel of Mark, 4, verse 13 to 20. So let us hear the word of the Lord. The Matthew reading is what we'll be looking at for the children's talk from Matthew 5, and then what the children will be looking at in Sunday school. So Matthew 5, reading from verse 21. You who have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. Amen. Now turning over to Mark. Mark chapter 4, verses 13 to 20. As we continue to look at the parable of the sower. Verse 13. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seeds along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, they hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for other things, come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, if the young ones will come to the front, I will come down and talk to you all.
Okay. Good. I think there's my sound. Now, hopefully we have a few pictures up here. And I have a picture that may represent how you feel at times. I'm not sure. Do you ever feel like that? Do you? You really, really, really get angry. Someone has really annoyed you. Your blood maybe starts to boil. Your face goes a bit red. And perhaps you feel maybe just not so good. You're ready to explode, to let loose. Perhaps using words you shouldn't. This is not just the young ones. This is all of us. At times we can be like this. And maybe you're ready to do something that you know you shouldn't, that you can't take back. You know, it can happen to the best of us sometimes. We can all get angry. Different things can really, really annoy us. One day, Jesus talked about this very thing. He was out with his disciples, out for a walk, and you know, as wherever Jesus went, a large crowd gathered. Why was that, do you think? Why did a large crowd gather as Jesus went about his business? Why do you think? Was he just like everybody else? No. You know he wasn't. Why? What was special about Jesus? Yeah? He never sinned. This is true. He never sinned. But, yeah. He did miracles. He did amazing things. Things that were impossible. He did them. And people saw this. He also said amazing things. Things that some people didn't really like, but things that people needed to hear. So whenever Jesus went somewhere, well, a large crowd followed. And one day we're told he went a little walk up a mountain and he sat down. He sat down to teach. To teach his disciples and anybody that would gather around him. You see, Jesus wanted people to know what it meant to follow him. Jesus wanted people to know what they were truly like. Because some people have the idea they're so good. Some people think they're absolutely perfect. Some people think that butter wouldn't melt in their mouth. So good. But Jesus wanted to remind people that no matter how good we are, you're all very good, aren't you? Yeah? Maybe. Well, Jesus wanted all of us to know that no matter how good we think we might be, we're not really as good as we should be. None of us are. No matter what age we are, no matter if we're a minister or whoever else, we are far from what we should be. And that's what Jesus taught the people that day. He took one of the commandments, the sixth commandment, that says, you shall not murder. And he was going to teach the people what that meant. Well, has anyone here broken this commandment? No, don't tell me that, just in case. Hopefully, none of us have killed anyone. So this seems to be an easy commandment to keep, doesn't it? None of us have hopefully gone out and murdered someone. And we may think, we don't have to think about this commandment. But Jesus used it to show the people that they were not as perfect as they thought. There's more to this commandment than meets the eye. Jesus said, you see, whenever you get really, really angry inside, when you perhaps start to really hate someone else, then you are breaking this commandment. So even though you haven't murdered someone, hopefully no one here has, Jesus said, we can all be guilty of breaking this commandment. A commandment that we think, oh, we're safe with that one. Jesus says, no, we're not. Because even when you get really, really angry, when you hate someone, you're disobeying God in your heart. And that is serious, isn't it? We think of murder being serious, and it is so serious. But Jesus said, so is getting angry with someone. So is hating someone. So it's also terrible when we use words that are hurtful to others, calling them a fool, as we heard in the Bible reading. We need to be careful, because the reality is none of us are perfect. We have all broken God's commandments, no matter who we are, every single one of us. Jesus reminds us that none of us are perfect. Who was the only one that was perfect? We were already told this. We were already told that Jesus is perfect. He was perfect. He never done anything wrong. And he died on the cross because you and I are far from perfect. We may look all dressed up, smiley faces. We may look very good, but we are not perfect. None of us are. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross, because we have broken his commandments. That's why we must trust in him. He died on the cross. He paid the price for all the wrong things you've done, all the wrong things I've done. I needed him to die on the cross because I couldn't pay the price for my sins. Each of us need to trust in him. Then we need to thank him. We need to thank him for what he has done. And then we need to ask, what do you think we need to ask, Jesus? Day by day, we need to ask Jesus for this. because we are far from perfect, because we can be people that get angry so quickly, because we can start to hate. What do we need to ask Jesus for each day, do you think? Anyone in the congregation? What do you think? Sorry?
Yeah.
Well, we need to ask forgiveness. That's correct. We need to ask forgiveness when we do wrong. Because remember, as Christians, we are not perfect. We still do things wrong. We shouldn't. We ask forgiveness when we do something wrong, when we maybe start to hate someone. But we also need to ask for help. We need to ask him for help so we're not getting angry, so we're not hating others, because he is always there for us. He is perfect. He died on the cross for us, and he is only a prayer away. You need his help day by day. I need his help day by day. We need to ask him to help us not to get so angry when we're annoyed. And certainly we need to ask him for help so we're not hating others, so we're not disobeying his commands. None of us are perfect. The commandments remind us of that so clearly. Even one like you shall not murder, because Jesus explained it. He knows what it meant, what it means. We should not get angry. We should not hate others. We should not call others terrible things, calling them fools, because when we do, we're breaking God's commandments. So let's ask God to help us do what is right and keep his commandments. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, forgive us for thinking at times that we are so good when really your word reminds us we are not. We are far from perfect. Lord, your commandments remind us of that. And Lord, even though we have not murdered someone, Lord, we have got angry with people at times. We have hate in our heart for people at times. Lord, we can be calling other people by names we shouldn't. And Lord, we remember here that your son Jesus said that is wrong. That is disobeying your commands. So forgive us. Lord, forgive us for those times we act in ways we shouldn't. Help us do what is right. And most of all, help each one of us put our trust in you as our Lord and Savior. You are the only one who is perfect. You died for us on the cross, paying the price. Help us trust in you. And Lord, give us the help we need each day to live our lives for you. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to stand and we're going to sing our children's hymn, which is Jesus Strong and Kind.
We come now to a time of prayer, a time when we give thanks to God for how he has blessed us, what he has done for us, and also a time when we come and bring our prayers before the Lord. And before we pray today, I'm going to read a short letter from our moderator that was sent out this week, and then our prayer of intercession will be based upon it. This again from the moderator. Dear fellow ministers, I hope this letter finds you well and that you've been encouraged as you've remembered, celebrated, and proclaimed the death and resurrection of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. My thoughts and prayers are with you as you begin a new term of ministry. I've been made aware of the extreme difficulty, the difficult situation facing our farming and horticultural communities because of the extremely heavy rains that are being experienced at this present time. A large portion of vegetables and potatoes were unable to be harvested, and this year's crop was unable to be planted. A much lower proportion of winter cereals were planted in the autumn, and a proportion of those have since failed. Even in traditionally dry areas, it has been too wet to plant spring cereals. Due to the wet autumn, many livestock were housed several months earlier than usual, placing pressure on supplies of winter fodder. The continuing level of rain this spring means that stock is already very late in being able to return to grazing, and reservoirs of fodder have been exhausted right across the UK and Ireland. All of this means that farmers and their families are facing huge financial, emotional and mental pressures. I wanted to draw this difficult situation to your attention and ask you to bring these concerns to God in prayer and public worship. So that's what we're about to do, as part of our prayer. So let's come before the Lord and let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you today in the midst of our lives, in the midst of the busyness, in the midst of the difficulties, the hurts of life. We come to you, our God. Lord, we give thanks because we acknowledge that in the midst of everything, you are a faithful God. You are a God who has given us our daily bread and so much more. So, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you our offerings today and pray that you will use them to bring glory and honor to your majestic name. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as your people, Lord, you are not aloof. You do care for each one of us. Lord, we understand that you understand us. You know our difficulties. You know the pressures upon us. You know the concerns, Lord, that we have, the things that we're going through that perhaps no one else knows. We thank you that we can, in Christ, bring them before you, O God, who is willing to help us and able to help us with them. Lord, we pray today for the situation in our countryside. Lord, we ask that you will give us, Lord, more lovely days like this, cause the rain to ease. And Lord, we pray for our government. We pray that you will help them respond to the difficult situation our farmers are going through. Help them respond with understanding and with a coordinated response for both suppliers and consumers. Lord, help them. Help them do what's right to ease the pressure instead of piling more pressure on our farmers, we pray. Lord, we pray that there will be practical support for our farmers and producers. Lord, we pray that you will give wisdom in those who can give it. We pray that we will continue to give our farmers and their families, all those who work together, Lord, to get the work done so we can have the food we need to eat. Lord, give them the strength they need, the health they need. Lord, help them as they lean on you. Continue to be their foundation, their strong tower. Lord, just help in this country, we pray, so the food can be grown, so we can have what's needed, and continue to bless our farmers, those who put the work in so we can. Those, Lord, who are involved in the selling of the produce that we take for granted, for the packaging, all the different elements in between, so we can have the food on our table. Lord, bless them and help them. And Lord, help us be truly thankful to you and for those who supply what we need. Lord, we pray for those at this time who continue to care for us physically. Lord, for those in hospital, for our doctors, for our nurses, at a time, Lord, where we complain so much about the situation, but Lord, when things go wrong, Lord, we are so thankful that they still are there helping us. And we pray, Lord, for those in charge that you will give them wisdom to know what can be done so the pressure can be eased there too, so the care that needs to be given can be given as it's needed. Lord, and we pray for those who are suffering today. We pray, Lord, that you will ease their pain. You will direct the doctors, consultants, Lord, to the right decisions so health can be restored. Lord, we pray for those people who pour themselves out, caring for others day by day. Lord, we pray that you will just renew their strength when perhaps all strength is faded. Lord, help, give strength, give guidance. And Lord, we pray that you'll bring more people even into that field of service. Bring more people who will dedicate themselves to caring for others too. Lord, I pray for each one of us gathered here, each one gathered with their own hurts, their own difficulties or concerns. Lord, help each one of us lay them before you, our God. Help us look to you, seeking your help with them. And Lord, I pray as we place our burdens before you, Lord, that you will help each one, ease our burdens, strengthen each one of us as we go out into this new week. Help us, Lord, just do what you call us to do, moment by moment, day by day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now we stand once again to praise our God, this time as we sing the hymn, Across the Lands. Last week we started looking at the parable of the sower, the fact that Jesus was teaching through these stories with a heavenly meaning, and also the fact that some would hear and understand and some would not. We looked at the sower, we looked at the seed. So today we're going to get our hands dirty, as it were, and look at the soil. Now, I do not know much about farming. If you were lighting me, you would starve. But I do know a good crop does not simply happen. It does not depend only on good seed and a good mixture of rain and sun. Not that we get a good mixture of that. We usually get too much of one of those. Apparently, the quality of the soil has a lot to do with it. That's why a lot of work has to be done on the soil at times before the seed is sown. And I was watching again just over the weekend as a field was being ploughed. Again, we need good soil. We need it ready. It's also why certain crops apparently are better suited to different areas. And also why at times I think the crop sown has to even be rotated. Good soil is important. And that's what we find here in this chapter when it comes to hearing the word of God. It depends on the soil, that is the heart of the person who is receiving it. And in this parable, as the Lord Jesus talks about it and explains it to his disciples, he talks, of course, about the hard ground. The hard ground, specifically here talking about the path around the fields. This part of the ground would have been so hard simply because it was walked on so much, not just by the farmer and perhaps the family, but others would have walked around the field. They would have been free to do so. They wouldn't have been chased off. Indeed, in Old Testament times, they could have come into a field and perhaps taken one or two little items, ears of corn, no problem. That's what God's word allowed. But the paths around the edges would have been hard. The seed falling, therefore, would not have been able to take root. Instead, it would have just sat there for a while. Not too long, because those hungry birds would have swooped down and had a feast. The hard ground. And we're told here by the Lord Jesus, this describes those people who have hard hearts. They may hear the word of God. They may be sitting under the word of God, but really they have no time for it. They hold it as of no value at all. They may actually enjoy hearing about it, but they have no intention of applying it to their lives, letting it change their lives as it's intended. You know, it said, the same sun that melts ice bakes clay as hard as a brick. The same sun that may melt ice will also bake clay as hard as a brick. People continually hearing the word of God when they refuse to respond to it may become the most hostile to it. Like, for example, the teachers of the law we hear about in the Gospels, the Herodians, the chief priests, those that should have known about God's word when it came to the words of Jesus, the Son of God, they had no time. They would not let them in to their lives. In fact, when they hear the word of God, they immediately want to destroy the Lord Jesus, as we read about in Mark 3:22 and many other verses. Such hard hearts. Are there people like that today? Of course there are. People who are hardened by the gospel, not just outside the church, but sometimes inside a church. Perhaps once the ground was good, but on hearing God's word, perhaps these people, whoever they are, continue to reject the word. Remember, if you do not accept it, you are rejecting it. And now their hearts perhaps are rock hard. The word of God does not have a chance to settle and take root. As soon as they hear it, the devil swoops in and snatches it away. It's as if there's a layer of cement over the soil. Hardened hearts. Hearing the gospel, but continually rejecting it. What can we do about the hard heart? In Hosea 10, verse 12, sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. The ground, the hard ground, needs to be broken up, just like hard ground needs the plow to go through it, to break it up so the seed can get to the good soil. We need the hardness of the hearts to be broken. And to do that, we need to be praying. We need to be people of prayer, praying for others, praying, pray, pray, that God will break the hard heart, that God will soften it. So when God's word is heard, that it will take root and have effect in their lives too. We need to be praying for others. Others who perhaps have heard the gospel many times in church, from ourselves, members of our families perhaps, who have heard the gospel but have become hardened to it. One of the most important things we can be doing is being faithful in prayer. Pray, pray, pray that God will break that ground. Because unless that hard heart is softened by the Holy Spirit, the seed will not get in. So we must keep praying for those whose hearts have hardened to the gospel. We also need to keep praying for ourselves, though, don't we? At times, as Christians, we can hear God's word, but certain parts of it we don't necessarily like. We refuse to yield to it. We hear it, but we do not let it take root in our lives. As Christians, we must be listening to God's word intently, seeking that it will all take root in our lives. Those things sometimes we hear we don't like in Scripture, some of the things that we're told we need to do as Christians, we don't like doing them. Those things we would naturally be hardened to, we need to pray God will help us, that he will soften our hearts so we will yield to it. There are things that all of us as Christians find difficult to do. We need to be praying that God will help us submit, yield to his word, all of it. We need to be praying for our hearts that God will soften them to all of his word as we pray for others, that they will be hearts will be softened so they will yield and put their trust in Christ. There is the hard ground, those with hard hearts, which remember at times can be us as Christians. We need to be praying that that's not so, that we continue to listen to God's word and allow it to affect every part of our lives. Then there's the rocky ground or shallow ground, ground that may have looked fine, but underneath those rocks, underneath maybe a layer of rock, no depth, the seed falls and it seems to take root, but there is nowhere for those roots to go. So soon that little shoot that forms withers and dies. Maybe springs up very quickly, but soon, because there's no place for it, for the roots to grow, it dies. And of course, this can be how people respond to God's word also. People can hear God's word and seem to respond to it immediately with great excitement. They say, yes, I want to trust in Jesus. They seem to give their lives to him. But as we're told here by the Lord Jesus, as soon as problems come, they seem to fall away. They seem to fall away because they have not thought through what it means to trust in Christ. I'm sure, like myself, you may have shaken a bottle of Coca-Cola or been given a shaken bottle of Coca-Cola without knowing. You open the top and it just all comes out so quickly, foams everywhere for a short time. For a short time, there's such a quick explosion of activity, and then the rest of that Coke is just, well, it's flat. It's flat. Nothing really to it. And that's the way it can be with this soil. People seem to respond so quickly to the gospel, but there's no depth, there's no reality to it. Hosea 6 verse 4, what can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. It is there, but gone so quickly. It has gone so quickly. John Stott said, the crowds that gathered around Jesus were like flares, astonished at Jesus' teaching and miracles, but they fizzled out completely when they heard what following Christ actually meant. They were not truly submitting their lives to God, committing their lives to Him, to God through trusting in Christ. You see, becoming a Christian is not simply accepting a few ideas. It's submitting yourself to God. It's committing yourself to live for God as you trust in Christ. The Bible tells us, Matthew 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It is no shallow decision. It is to be thought through, that commitment to Christ. And again, we read that through the Gospels with different illustrations that Jesus gave. Luke 14, 28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? Counting the cost that will have to be paid in life as you trust and follow Christ. Luke 14, 31. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? Thoughtful commitment is required. Are you prepared to forsake all and follow Christ? Because that's what Scripture says we must do. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, Jesus said. And that's the only kind of Christianity the Bible talks about. When Jesus is your Lord and Savior, when He is the one you have submitted to, committed to, following day by day, that's what the trust in Jesus means, according to God's word. We cannot be shallow. We are called to submit and commit our entire lives to Him. And again, as Christians, this affects us too, as those who have submitted, committed, and trust in Christ. We are obviously to accept His word, but we are to dwell on it. We are called to savor it, as it were, to let it sink deep into every part of our lives. Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. Psalm 1, 2. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. As Christians, we are not to have a shallow understanding of God's word. We are to be devoted to God's word, knowing what it says, how it can be applied to our lives. It is to delight us continually. Do you dwell on God's word, asking the Holy Spirit to help you understand it, then to apply it to every part of your life? Because that's what we are called to do as Christians. Let God's word continually go deep into our lives. Every part of our lives should be affected by it. So we need to be reading God's word. We need to be praying that God will help us understand it as we come to church together, as we come to midweek, as we can, as we use good Bible notes that will focus on Scripture, helping us to understand what it says, having a translation we can understand, a good accurate translation, perhaps with notes, a good study Bible. I prefer the ESV study Bible. I believe it's very good and very good study part to it to help us understand. Because that should be our desire. Not to let God's word just rest, to know what it says, but to really understand it. And through the Holy Spirit, as we read it, as you read it, God can take His word and help you understand it and apply it to your life. But you must continually dwell on it, reading it, praying it through so it can affect deeply into every part of your life. And then of course we have the thorny ground. It's a bit of a hard picture to view. But the ground full of thorn bushes and weeds, representing the crowded heart. Those people that hear the word, but as one of many things, their hearts and minds are full of so much else. And Jesus lists some of them here. Natural things that can fill our minds at times. Our worries of our everyday life. Some people are so concerned about wealth, things, they are not devoted to the Lord Jesus. The word of God does not have a chance to take root and develop because they have counted the cost and perhaps decided the cost is too much. They would rather go after other things, wealth, etc. We find Herod was like that. Herod heard the word of God gladly, but his greater concern was to preserve his honor and power. The rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus sincerely, but for him, it was money. Money was all important to him instead. Hayden Robison said this. It's hard to say. Money has a way of binding us to what is physical and temporal and blinding us to what is spiritual and eternal. Money has a way of binding us to what is physical and temporal and blinding us to what is spiritual and eternal. In and of itself, there's nothing wrong with money. We all need it so we can have our daily bread and things. But it's when we love, when our desire, when our motivation is all about money, then that is a problem, the Bible says. That can get in the way of following Christ, doing what Christ wants you to do instead of what you want to do. Focusing on the things Christ wants you to invest in instead of the things that you may want to invest in. What is holding you back from submitting, from committing your life to God? What are you clinging on to that you're just not willing to release that God has told you you should? You must turn from it, and trust in Christ. Be willing to release all else but Christ and be willing to walk wherever he leads you. And of course, as Christians, we can let our lives get full of weeds and thorns as well, can't we? We can stop, which can stop God's word bearing fruit in our lives. We can have unconfessed sin in our lives because, as we said earlier, none of us are perfect. We all do things wrong, but when we do wrong, we are to set it aright. And that starts with confessing it to God and then seeking his help to do what's right. We need to be constantly weeding. I'm not really a great fan of weeding. Needs to be done. And we need to be constantly weeding in our own lives, looking at our lives and seeing what we have allowed to creep in and take root. Things that are stopping us follow Christ as we should. We need to take stock. We need to confess our sins. We need to leave our cares to the Lord, knowing he is more than able. Refocusing our God, making sure he is number one, so the word of God can take root in our lives, so we can grow and flourish as God's people. And then finally, the good ground. There's good ground there as well, thankfully. The ground, people's hearts that are ready to receive the word of God. And you know, when we have the opportunities, I was mentioning this last night at the CEF fellowship evening, we have no idea what the ground is like before us. We may think we do. God is the one that knows someone's heart. We do what we're told. We take the opportunities to sow that seed, to proclaim what we have heard to others. And we rely on God's ears, thinking such and such a person will not listen. Forget all that. We do not know the heart. God does. God knows the good ground that is out there. We do not. So we sow when the opportunity comes. Ask God's forgiveness for the times when we could have opened our mouths and talked to someone and kept them closed because we thought, it's not really worth it. They won't listen. God knows the state of someone's heart. So take those opportunities, because when the seed is sown, there will be good ground and it will bring forth fruit, the little shoots, and then a massive harvest will be brought forth as God's word is preached, as those trust in him. But also, of course, for the Christian, as you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you continually receive God's word, then God will bring forth fruit in your life too. Again, John 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. God can use you wherever you are, whatever position God has given you. God can use you there to bring forth fruit as you are faithful, as you sow the seed. Wherever you are, as the opportunity comes, God can take it. God can be preparing that ground and can bring every good work as you listen to God's word, as you are transformed through the Holy Spirit. He will change you, change your desires, so you are seeking opportunities to serve him. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things are not natural in us, but as we hear God's word, as God's word penetrates our life, our lives through the Holy Spirit, these things will start to develop more and more. Kindness, patience. Maybe you don't have much patience. As you spend time before God and his word praying, God can develop that patience in you. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. So we're not getting angry all the time. God is the one that can change us from the inside out as we seek his help to receive his word as it is sown, that it will plant in our lives and continue to produce fruit, fruit that will last, fruit that will affect those around us as we're living our lives each day, so we can go forth and be a blessing as we sow God's seed wherever we go. Let us pray that God will continue to soften our hearts as he softens the hearts of those around us, so they may be willing to submit and commit to him, trusting in Jesus. Pray that God will continue to help us do the same day by day, to follow him with every fiber of our being, serving him. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this day we pray first for our own soil, for our own hearts. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you will harden our hearts, soften our hearts, if, Lord, we have allowed them to get hardened. If there's parts of your word that we refuse to listen to, that we do not allow to take root, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Soften our hearts so we take your word and live it. Lord, forgive us if there are things in our lives that have crowded out our main purpose, which is to live for you. Things in our lives that, Lord, cause your word just to be a side issue. Forgive us, Lord, and help your word to be the number one issue so we can live our lives for you. Lord, help us feed upon your word so it may penetrate our hearts and every part of us. And Lord, help us then go forth and sow. Sow what we have heard to those around us, never stopping, never holding back because we think the ground may not be ready. Lord, help us faithfully sow as we pray, as we seek to live our lives for you. Help us spread your word wherever we go. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to stand and we're going to sing our final hymn, Filled with Compassion. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you, both now and forevermore. Amen.